I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative networks, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuning in live this Thursday, July 28th, 2022 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it is, while a dystopic ride, it is becoming patently un-American, I would say. Yes, there is a duality of American history. Yes, there was always intrigue and there was always a degree of deception. At work, you know, you read Manly Hall's Secret Destiny of America, you understand that pretty clearly. However, we have, in America, we still, as Dennis Prager put it, we still have the best value system in the world. And that's a boastful claim in a sense, but I tend to agree with him. You know, we played a clip yesterday, or actually a couple of clips from his C-SPAN book interview, Still the Best Hope, his book, Still the Best Hope, Why the World Needs American Values to Triumph. And more recently, he spoke a little bit more about this. He's spoken about this a few times, but here's a little clip. We'll start with this. Today, Dennis Prager hears why America still has the best value system in the world. So give this a listen. Go ahead.
Well, I've written a book on the American value system called Still the Best Hope, and I think America has made the greatest value system for a great society. And they are, I call it the American Trinity, the three values on every coin and every piece of paper money. Liberty, in God we trust, e pluribus unum. Liberty, the person shall be free of coercion, which necessitates, by definition, small government. The bigger the government, the less our freedom, by definition, in Europe or anywhere else. Number two, in order to be free and not be bad, if you're free, who's going to keep you good? Since the founders of America didn't believe that we're basically good, nor does Judaism. How do you have free people who are good? Either they're coerced into goodness by the state, strong police force, strong laws, and big government, or small government a lot of freedom and God. People accountable to God. The founders of this country were rooted in the God of the Hebrew Bible, the God of the Tanakh. The number of Jews who know the following is almost the number of Jews who know this is about 1%. Maybe I don't think 1 out of 100. There is only one thing, one verse, one sentence on the Liberty Bell. It's from the Torah. They were steeped in the Torah, the founders of this country. They were Christians who believed in the Torah deeply, and in the whole Tanakh. And so they understood that we need this God, the God of the Bible, to feel accountable to keep a free society. In other words, America won't be free, and America won't be good, and America won't be America if it becomes secular. That Jews are among the leaders in the secularization of America is a tragedy for which Jews will have to atone before the Holy One, blessed be He, and before history. It is the sin of sins that Jews are so avidly working to make a godless America. It is something that will lead to the collapse of the greatest society in history and the society that has treated Jews the best in history. It's very terrible, terrible. In God we trust is one of the three values for a good society, and the other is e pluribus unum, for many one. That it doesn't matter what your race is, your ethnicity is, we are all God's creatures, we are all Americans. Whatever your religion, that's fine. Obviously, that's fine. I'm deeply committed to Judaism as an American, obviously. But those are the three great values.
So there you have it. In a nutshell, the three great values that make America different. The American Trinity, as he puts it, liberty and God we trust, e pluribus unum. And those are all under assault. I wanted to talk maybe a little bit about liberty. It's an interesting discussion. Many things have been said throughout history, and particularly our American history, about this concept of liberty. And so how about just a few brief notes on the subject of liberty? Obviously, we have those that was Tacitus, by the way, the more numerous the laws, the more corrupt the state. I mentioned that. And you can feel that happening. The more numerous the laws, the more corrupt the state. And again, that gets into something I think you read in Romans 7 in particular, how the law is antagonistic to the flesh. According to the Bible, the law is a tutor. That's its purpose. And so if we pass innumerable laws, which was something that the founders talked about, people won't know how to conduct themselves. Madison in particular had some very specific points along those lines. But you can feel it now. I think many people in America can relate to the concept that is really at work in Harvey Silverglatt's book, Three Felonies a Day, How the Feds Target the Innocent. And on any given day, his point is that, you know, we all become felons. We all commit felonies, up to an average of three felonies a day, everyone. And this is largely because of the criminalization of many things that are not criminal, as folks like Abraham Lincoln have discussed throughout history. So the more numerous the laws, the more corrupt the state. according to Tacitus, Benjamin Franklin, obviously, he said, where liberty is, there's my country. And if you make yourself sheep, the wolves will eat you. And of course, one of the most memorable quotes, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety, and will have neither. Patrick Henry, I think, was as outspoken on this issue as anyone could be. He said, for example, guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect everyone who approaches that jewel. Unfortunately, nothing will preserve it but downright force. Whenever you give up that force, you are inevitably ruined. And so we've seen throughout our history a number of sentiments expressed along these lines that we really, because of the learned helplessness that we've been indoctrinated into, we really have lost touch with these concepts. We used to be a people in this country who handled our own affairs and did not require a nanny state, did not want a nanny state involved in the conduct of our affairs. Now, there seems to be kind of a Machiavellian and Nietzschean oppressor-oppressed paradigm push to weaponize the nanny state against one another in a culture consumed by victim psychopathy, unfortunately. But it wasn't always so. Samuel Adams, Declaration of Independence speech, August 1, 1776, I believe, he said, driven from every corner of the earth, freedom of thought and the right of private judgment in matters of conscience direct their course to this happy country as their asylum, their last asylum, he said. And that has been sort of the echo of America for many folks who, you know, with whom those sentiments resonate. So it's interesting to see what's happening these days. I don't know about you, but I am seeing mass migration. You know, I would call it coercive engineered migration, Kelly Greenhill's term, and a multiculturalism that seems random and maybe unplanned, but not accidental, I would say, entirely intentional, to break down barriers, to steal our culture, our legacy, our heritage, and that again is something that many folks have remarked on. From well, Karl Marx, for example, if people without a heritage are easily persuaded or deceived, to the many others, you know, I think of folks like Abraham Lincoln, Andrew Jackson, many others in our history. But we used to have a courage that wasn't just spoken of by folks like Ronald Reagan when he said, you and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there's a price we will not pay. There's a point beyond which they must not advance. Before that, it was ingrained in people's character, I think, in America. It was not something that needed to be spoken. And this was a place that we held to the, not just the belief and not just the rhetoric of you know, say Edmund Burke, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. But in spirit and in character, to operate on this basis. And now we are faced with the question that Martin Luther King Jr. posited: every man must decide whether he will walk in the light of creative altruism or in the darkness of destructive selfishness. And I had a conversation with a gentleman the other day about the mortgage debacle, subprime contagion, 15 years ago or so, and the fallout. And he said, this is a gentleman in the mortgage industry currently who started back in 2007, so he kind of saw the tail end of it. But he said, and what was most astonishing to me about that period was the same people who gave us the bad advice that caused the problem were the ones who gave us the advice to get out of the problem, ostensibly. And I thought that was a remarkable observation, because most people are painfully unaware of that fact. And it is a fact. And it really is astonishing. And so I joked and said, I'm in the wrong business. You know, how do I get in that business where you give bad advice, and when your advice causes all kinds of catastrophe, you know, I don't want to be in the shock doctrine business. I was being facetious, obviously, but how is it that we can allow people who are in the business of shock therapy, the shock doctrine business, where they give bad advice to cause a problem, and it's not possible for most people to trace the effects of the advice they give and to say this had a direct impact here and here and here, which resulted in this catastrophe. Therefore, not only do we not want to hear what you have to say in the future, but you're fired. You are fired from giving advice for anything. You may be qualified to flip burgers somewhere, but that might be a stretch too. So good luck finding gainful employment. That should be the message to folks like that. So how do you even get in that business? It's just a testament to where we are in America. You know, when people see a stumbling, bumbling husk of a president walking by himself, maybe getting off a plane or out onto a stage or something like that, with no one around, and he has a mask on, and then he takes the mask off to greet people, I think that should really get us thinking about the state of things. That is entirely the opposite of what we've been told, even though there's no scientific basis for any of it. And now we have Anthony Fauci saying that he didn't recommend locking anything down, which is par for the course. There are a lot of folks who should be in prison, but we've had a trend for some time now not to prosecute the real criminals, but to criminalize conscientious objectors, and we will undoubtedly suffer the consequences, I fear. So John Lennon said it best. We play that clip from time to time. Our society is run by insane people for insane objectives. I think we're being run by maniacs for, he said maniacal, I would say maniacal ends. And I think I'm liable to be put away as insane for expressing that. That's what's insane about it. But he didn't get put away. I guess maybe he got put away permanently. And Aaron and Melissa, Aaron and Melissa Dykes over True Stream Media did a little mini documentary about the assassination of John Lennon, didn't they? They do at least one. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Back. So on RBN right now, You know, there's so much evidence of this, and I know that I sound like I'm speaking in generic terms. I think you probably know the specifics as well as I. This is becoming more of a listener-driven or guided broadcast. I think this is kind of this is a place where we commiserate generally, and I intend to start reading some of the things that I get from friends and listeners, which is sort of the same group in some sense or at some point. But one of the examples, there's a lot of stuff over the Gateway Pundit these days. One of the stories we republished on RBN, FBI whistleblowers reveal Bureau leadership is pressuring agents to artificially pad domestic terrorism data to help push Biden narrative. And I would almost say that the clause, you know, to help push Biden narrative is sort of a limited hangout. I don't think that it really has much to do with the Biden administration at all, or sleepy, creepy Uncle Joe. This sounds identical to what Trevor Aronson said back in 2015. And, you know, we could say, well, Obama, Biden, you know, continuation. Sure, we could say that. But this is something that has not abated. In the post 9/11 era, this is an ongoing issue. And as Trevor Aronson pointed out in his 2015 TED Talk, the message was allegedly never again after September 11. That's a problematic discussion in itself because of, for example, Sybil Edmonds' revelations about COINTELPRO efforts and Gladio B specifically. So this is the same continuation from the article. Same circus tricks that we've been seeing, particularly in the post 9/11 era, but it's been going on since before that, obviously. Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, said whistleblowers have disclosed FBI leadership is pressuring agents to artificially pad domestic terrorism data. The FBI is weaving a narrative that helps the Biden regime while painting Trump supporters as terrorists. Jordan sent a letter to FBI Director Christopher Wray detailing new disclosures by insider whistleblowers. From recent protected disclosures, we have learned that FBI officials are pressuring agents to reclassify cases as domestic violent extremism, even if the cases do not meet the criteria for such a classification, Jordan wrote in a letter. Given the narrative pushed by the Biden administration that domestic violent extremism is the greatest threat facing our country, revelation that the FBI may be artificially padding domestic terrorism data is scandalous. And you might say this is not exactly what Trevor Aronson was talking about, and I would agree. However, the padding of the numbers, the falsifying of evidence, the manufacturing of terrorism, or construing things that aren't, is very much what Trevor Aronson was talking about. And you can see that again in studies, for example, done by Project Islam, one of them done by Project Islam, May 2014, titled Inventing Terrorists, The Lawfare of Preemptive Prosecution. And so we're starting to see, I mean, you can see this is the slippery slope. This is why there are folks 20 years ago saying we should be concerned about what's happening. You know, you hear, oh, these radical jihadis. Not so fast, let's define terms. And now you can see that creeping into the domestic element. Talk more when we come back. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Project Salaam study was not the only one drawing, I would say, largely from Trevor Aronson's leading. There was the Human Rights Watch study. I've mentioned that too. It's all kind of the same stuff, and it's manufacturing cases against people as a way of criminalizing dissent. It makes me think of Naomi Wolf's book, 2007 book, The End of America, Letter of Warning to a Young Patriot, and the 10 steps invoke a terrifying internal and external enemy. Now we have invisible boogeymen everywhere all the time, whether it's ISIS or Jihadi Jane or COVID. There are, invisible enemies everywhere. There is an invisible enemy. That's the one who seeks to persuade you that he doesn't exist, but that's a different discussion. So the 10 steps invoke a terrifying internal, external enemy. 2, create secret prisons to where torture takes place. Of course, we did that. And remember the documentary, I think it was the Skull and Bones, the Catholic Connection documentary that Anthony Hilder did. And they had a segment on the torture that was going on in the post 9/11 era. And we heard, remember, I mean, I've told this story many times. Jane Mayer's book was a good primer on the subject, but Mitchell Jessen and Associates, in particular out of Spokane, Washington, drawing largely from Dr. Martin Seligman's work, whom they brought in to special forces training down in Coronado, for example, ostensibly teaching special forces how to resist torture and interrogation, when in actuality they were teaching them how to torture. But you know, it's not torture, we call it extraordinary rendition or whatever nonsensical term we want to assign to it. And I think in Hilder's Skull and Bones, the Catholic Connection, I think they even included a clip from Rosie O'Donnell, who is, I think, one of the folks who fell from grace, you might say, because of her anti-establishment or her views on things like this that were not in keeping with the establishment narrative. So that's two. Three, develop a thug caste or paramilitary force not answerable to citizens. We've seen that overseas, like I said. Well, I won't belabor it. You can read some of the stuff that Matthew Cole has written over at The Intercept, or just go look at any of the work that Jeremy Scahill has done over the years. Dirty Wars, for example, the book and the documentary. Four, set up an internal surveillance system. My goodness, surveillance capitalism is what we have now. I think that's about all we have to say on that. Remember what happened after the Route 91 Harvest Festival nonsense, and all of a sudden everybody said, and you know, there were some strange things going on at the same time, like the Freeman Washington shooting, where the lady had the Las Vegas sweatshirt on, and just some peculiarities where apparently people were saying something's going to happen, and you'll see in the immediate aftermath this call for heightened security measures, and our company, I think it was Chertoff's group that was at least consulted and maybe even contracted, if I remember correctly, to provide resources for upgrading and enhancing security, speaking of surveillance systems. Five, infiltrate and harass citizens groups. Again, you know, I mean, what have we seen in the articles in the post 9/11 era? Every time there's a white supremacist organization, it's FPI, it's COINTELPRO. Every time there is a Draw Muhammad contest where there are shootings, it's COINTELPRO. The Patriot Front nonsense, most recently. I mean, consider the name, for starters, Patriot Front. You know, whether it's a plot to kidnap a governor, allegedly, you know, even the Babylon Bee had a joke about that. New York Times talked about it. You know, more FBI agents in the room. In fact, it was all agents. Is there anybody here that's not in it? Okay, all right, it's all feds. So infiltrating around, that's just textbook COINTELPRO stuff. Six, engage in arbitrary detention and release. Seven, target key individuals. Eight, control the press. I mean, that's been done since at least the 70s, admitted. Remember William Colby's congressional testimony? Nine, cast criticism on espionage and dissent as treason. And we're certainly seeing that. Subvert the rule of law is 10. And subvert is an interesting... I would almost use the CIA term suborn. I mean, conscripted to evil, essentially. Subvert the rule of law. You know, make the crimes of state legal beforehand, which is somewhat of a misnomer, because it's, you know, again, the state is just someone's sort of a pseudonym for someone's ideas. So some of the things that, well, I'll come back to this. I'll come back to this. There's more to say on this. Things that have been said in direct contravention to these evils here in America, what we can expect, you know, just as a primer, remember James Madison said the means of defense against foreign danger historically have become the instrument of tyranny at home. He also said if tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be under the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. Solzhenitsyn echoed that sentiment, saying a state of war only serves as an excuse for domestic tyranny. History is replete with these echoes. Abraham Lincoln's Lyceum Address is one of my favorite, obviously. You know, shall we expect some transatlantic military giant to step the ocean and crush us at a blow? Never. Well, then, at what point is the approach of danger to be expected, he asked. And he said, I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up amongst us. Cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time or die by suicide. And there's more to say on that. There's the cultural Marxist bent at work, you know, the alleged denazification of the world by essentially nazifying the world, the Western world in particular. And it's interesting how you find a number of, you know, the George Soros types, the folks who were psychologically damaged in that era and of Hungarian descent in particular. And, you know, the Bolshevik contingent is alive and well, apparently, in folks like George Soros, which reminds me of Theodore Roosevelt's remarks. It came from Teddy, of all people. He said, in the first place, we should insist that if an immigrant who comes here in good faith becomes an American and assimilates himself to us, he shall be treated on an exact equality with everyone else, for it is an outrage to discriminate against any such man because of creed or birthplace or origin. But this is predicated upon the man becoming, in very fact, an American, and I would say just an American, you know, not an African American, not an Asian American, not a European American, just an American. And so Teddy said it. He said there can be no divided allegiance here. That goes for the AIPAC contingent. That goes for, you know, dual citizens. That goes for the Saudi contingent trying to establish Wahhabi studies at Yale University and things like that. There can be no divided allegiance here. Any man who says he is an American but something else also isn't an American at all. I agree with Teddy there. We have room for but one flag, the American flag. Well, that's a difficult discussion, perhaps, because we were at one point supposed to be a union of several states. So the nationalism that crept in around the time that Teddy made these remarks is problematic. That aside, continuing, we have room for but one flag, the American flag, and this excludes the red flag, which symbolizes all wars against liberty and civilization just as much as it excludes any foreign flag of a nation to which we are hostile. We have room for but one language here, and that is the English language. We have room for but one sole loyalty, and that is a loyalty to the American people. I don't think you can say it any better than that. And we have definitely been sort of browbeaten into submission, believing that multiculturalism and this idea that, you know, we should think globally and act locally is the only way to go. When actually, when you look just a little bit deeper, just a little below the surface, a little beneath the surface, you find in things like the Strong Cities Network, for example, and all of the coinciding efforts, that it's just a small coterie of British intrigue at work, typically. So, enough about that. Let's go to the phones and grab Rhonda in Missouri. Rhonda, thanks for calling. Welcome. We have Rhonda.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Rhonda.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, never a dull moment. How about you?
Okay. I'm good. Hey, okay, hey. So you're talking about the January 6th event and the State of the Nation. They have a really good article over there, and it's kind of like, oh, well, yeah. You know, you read something and you know something, but it's like, yeah, and you know, you just don't continue connecting the dots, and you're like, yeah, that's that makes sense. But the title of the article is, let's see here, Operation Inauguration. So it's the NWO globalist cabal. They really had no choice but to stage the January 6th false flag black operation. And, you know, then it talks about instead the National Mall, instead of people, the National Mall was filled with around 200,000 flags representing Americans who couldn't attend, you know, because the Patriots are so, you know, I don't know, violent.
Dangerous.
I mean, grief. These people, you know, nope, even the dullest kind of the box can understand this one, but it says, because very few Bidenites and Biden voters would have ever showed up for the inaugural festivities, the brains behind Biden's stolen election scheme knew that they had to create a pretext closed down the National Mall in D.C. Otherwise, the American people would have witnessed a nearly empty mall after being told the POTUS imposter Joe Biden supposedly received the most votes in U.S. election history. Now, I think that's where that's where he failed. I mean, who's the most votes?
Unless you bust in crowdsondemand.com.
I know, but he could have just said, I won. But no, he had to push the envelope and say, I received the most votes. And he should have said, I stole the most votes in election history, you know, instead of received. But, yeah, it's they say once that observed propaganda was widely disseminated by CIA's Mockingbird media, the incoming Biden administration had sufficient justification to cancel most of the inaugural events that are usually attended by the victorious side of the electorate. Erecting massive metal fences throughout and cordoning off much of D.C. area only served to further the send the false message that the right, name-calling, right posed a serious threat to the incoming ultra-liberal administration. Isn't that something? I mean, you know, you're always talking about how they rinse and repeat. You know, I'm telling you what, Chris, honestly,
if
I would have been up there and they would have said, come on in, I'd have been like, yeah, I haven't been up here in a while, I'll check it out. I would have been in there, I would have gone in, but I wouldn't have climbed through a window. I wouldn't have done that. That's over the top.
Yeah, broken things.
But then again, I would just be your regular person. Those people that climbed through the windows were paid operatives, don't you think?
Many, yes. And there were at least a few, and then those who were sort of in tow were just kind of following along. There were some of those as well, but that was a small contingent. I remember when it happened and I had C-SPAN playing in the background where we were doing the broadcast, and the initial footage from the cameras there at the Capitol didn't seem to indicate anything abnormal. The people were, you know, walking between the velvet ropes, and they just looked like FOMO tourists.
Right. And
they were waiting, kind of standing in line as if they were waiting for something. It was really, really not, you know, like you said, it was no big deal. But then there were these other little enclaves of activity, you know, like the LARPing and other things, strategy of tension type stuff.
Yeah, it's just amazing what they think people will swallow these days, isn't it? All right, Chris, well, that's all I had to say. It's over on State of the Nation if people want to watch it and or read it. And there's a bunch of other really good articles there as well. Things to consider. Who really knows what's going on? All right, thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
Have a good day. Okay, bye.
Thank you, Rhonda. Yeah, you know, the thing that I find most fascinating about all of this is, you know, it's all unconventional warfare
platform
stuff.
To hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Xtendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
television signal.
the thing that is most astonishing to me, I've talked about this at times in a variety of ways, is the fact that we have folks who've gone through training on unconventional warfare or irregular warfare, and they don't recognize. Now, again, I think that interview with Henry Kissinger with Mike Wallace back in the 50s, was it 57, I think? Maybe even earlier. How is he still alive? You know, everybody else is dying of cancer. I guess it's all that good, clean living, right, that keeps Henry Kissinger alive at age 154 or whatever the heck it is. Guy who was politically relevant around the time my father was born. And yet my father's no longer here, but Henry Kissinger is still advising folks politically. That's pretty interesting. Anyway, when he said, you know, he was talking about limited war, limited conflict, and, you know, that draws directly from Frank Kitson's low intensity operations, subversions and subversion, insurgency, peacekeeping, et cetera, back in 1971. I mean, it's the same concepts. And if you want to go around the world doing this, things like color revolution are instrumental. You bubble up civil unrest from beneath the surface, and then by the time it boils over, you've already started to place resources to transition that society. And that's been done by the CIA and friends around the world for decades. If you're not familiar and you doubt any of that, go read basically anything William Bloom wrote, for example, who I would consider an unimpeachable witness. You know, go read America's Deadliest Export, Democracy. Go read Killing Hope is probably one of the best U.S. military and CIA interventions since World War II, and on the list goes. But, you know, Rand Corporation calls it nation-building space. And it's astonishing. He's not the only one who's written about this, obviously. I mean, you have guys like Peter Dale Scott and James Perloff and many others. But, you know, this the thing that is most astonishing to me is this fifth column that is taught, you know, the clandestine fifth column activities that categorize unconventional or irregular warfare. I don't understand how United States military personnel don't read history books, don't read what happened during the Second World War, don't maybe do some research on the history of CIA and Army intelligence, for that matter, drawing back to the OSS, drawing back to British intrigue, and Jeanette Conant in The Irregulars does a pretty good job of documenting that in a very not lighthearted, but in a very engaging sort of fashion. And, you know, the history is, it's all there for us to read if we want. It's not a secret. And yet, this continues. It's astonishing, which I think is a testament to the degradation of American values, which gets right back to what Dennis Prager was saying in the clip that we started with today. Here's why America still has the best value system in the world, but we've been losing that. We're in a break. Stick around. We'll be right back after
this. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.